My yoga studio is a temple to flexibility, and so is my business. Thanks to my Amex Business Gold Card, it automatically flexes with my monthly spending, so I can get extra points on purchases like my Metro card and my new stereo system. Check it out. Let's stretch those bods.
Earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories each month with an Amex Business Gold Card. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Built for business by American Express.
Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons.
It's a love that I find ever since you've been around. Your love put me on the top of the world. Top of the world.
Permit me here and now to promise, as a good comrade and a fellow artist, that I will not report any of this, whatever it is, to the police.
Welcome to Abandoned Albums, the documentary podcast. Each week, our intrepid group of researchers and music archivists dig through the record crates of the world, finding those albums that may have been lost over time. If a new artist is discovered along the way, well, that's all the better. Using a patent-pending algorithm and spirited debate, we pick one album as an inroad to discuss. Once that is settled, we reach out to the artists and invite them into Thunderlove Studio to chat with your hosts, Keith R. Higgins and Jeff Calhoun. When we're lucky, they say yes. Our mission with Abandoned Albums is simple: to make sure artists' recorded work remains, or in some cases, lands on, the cultural radar. We invite you to sit back and relax. Thank you for joining us.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. You caught me just finishing up some editing on Getting Real with John and Beth. I want to share my first experience with Factor Meals for you. I think you'll find this interesting because I bet the same thing happens to you. I had just received my first shipment from Factor Meals the other day, and I was excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals for myself. Anyway, I was working away and noticed it was very late, and it was my night to make dinner. I jumped up and headed to the kitchen, went to grab the ingredients for the dish I was going to make, and realized I was missing a prime ingredient. Well, I could make a run to the store, or I could make one of my new Factor meals. Actually, the choice was easy. I grabbed a cavatappi, an Italian-style pork ragu with garlic broccoli, heated the oven per instructions, and minutes later was enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. It really was everything Factor Meals said it would be. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off.
We're special.
On this episode of Abandoned Albums, we welcome Hutch Harris from The Thermals into Thunderlove Studio. The Thermals were a post-pop punk trio from Portland, Oregon, that burst onto the scene in 2003. By the time they went on a permanent hiatus in 2018, they left behind 7 records and a body of work that will undoubtedly stand the test of time. The Thermals frontman Hutch Harris stopped by Thunderlove Studio to talk with Jeff and Keith. Here's their conversation with Hutch.
It's just the normal noises in here.
Hutch, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. I don't know why. I'm trying to find out why my camera's not showing, because it says it is.
Oh.
Yeah, because now it's stopped.
There he is. Amazing. Cool.
It was like, it was like defaulting to some camera that doesn't exist here. So anyway.
So you think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's somewhere. It's somewhere here, probably. This
broadcasting directly to the FBI headquarters.
not surprised. So where are you guys?
I'm in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I am in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, cool. Yeah, I have, and my aunt and uncle live in Newtown.
Oh, wow, okay, I know Newtown.
Yeah. They actually lived in Sandy Hook for like 30 years or something. But they moved a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I love it up there. Birmingham's great, too. We always used to play the Bottle Tree in Birmingham.
The Bottle Tree.
Yeah, but did it close, a couple years ago or longer?
It did, but the guy who founded Bottle Tree has since opened a wonderful venue here called Saturn.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you ever met Brian, the guy that owned the club, but he was the...
I feel like maybe once we met him. I don't think he usually wasn't there.
He's the drummer for Manor Astro Man.
Right.
So a deep affinity for all things retro sci-fi.
I think I saw them it's probably like 10 years. That's more than 10 years ago Manor Astro Man played here, but it was kind of like a smaller place, and it was great.
Oh, they're a wonderful band.
Yeah, it was so good.
Wonderful band. Well, Hutch, you and I sort of know one another through social media. Keith is probably first time meeting you. So, Hutch, please meet Keith.
Co-host
of Abandoned Albums.
Yes.
Keith, please meet Hutch, who is currently releasing music under his own name, but for nigh on a decade, released music under the name The Thermals.
Yeah.
Back in 2002, when the band did the band form in Portland? Did you originate in Portland?
Yeah, we had all been living in Portland for a while. I think Kathy and I had moved here in 98. And then, that first record, I had just recorded myself on a 4-track. And then we kind of put together the band after that recording was already done.
You and Kathy had already been performing together as sort of a folk duo around town, right?
Right. And we had probably by that point had 4 or 5 bands together. So we'd been playing a long time. Yeah.
There's a bit of lore around that first record, which is to say that you recorded it in your kitchen, I guess, 4-track?
Yeah, it's all 4-track cassette.
And Sub Pop picked you up because they heard the tape through Ben Gibbard.
Right, because he was working with them. They were working on that first Postal Service record. Like, that wasn't quite out. I think our records came out pretty similar, pretty close to each other. But yeah, so Ben Gibbard had given it to Sub Pop.
Now, how did Ben, are you just pals with Ben? How did this come about?
Our guitar player, Ben, had introduced me to Ben Gibbard. Because when we were coming up, I mean, Death Cab was, they were big, but they were getting bigger. They weren't obviously as big as they would get. Like, this was like Death Cab before they were like on the OC, you know? Death Cab, the band, became like a character on the OC. And all of a sudden we're like, wow, their shows are like really like packed now. Or, you know, they're just playing bigger and bigger places. But like Ben Gibbard, so our Ben knew Ben Gibbard. And then Ben Gibbard would like come down and just play like really small acoustic shows. And just kind of be around. And then we would stay. He was so nice. He would always put us up at his house in Seattle. The first like couple years we were a band and coming up there, we would always stay at Ben's house, at his apartment. And he lived with our friend Chris, who ended up booking us and who booked a bunch of other like Seattle bands and stuff.
I wonder, 20 years removed from that moment, because I mean, that's a little fairy tale moment.
Like, oh yeah.
You know, I wonder, sure. 20 years removed from it, do you have some different perspective that like, hey, we got signed because our buddy Ben slipped his label the tape. Like now,
right,
knowing
right.
what Sub Pop was and then meant to us culturally over the past 20 years. I mean, that's a bit
I
of
mean,
a,
it's not like a fairy tale at that, you know, then we all definitely knew like how special it was while it was happening. Like none of it was like lost on us. And it all seems, yeah. I mean, eventually things just seem like, well, that's just what happened. But yeah, that was just like a super fun time for Portland, especially because like there hadn't been a Portland band on Sub Pop in like 15 years or something, I don't think. And it was like bands that had all had like really kind of like a rough go when they were on Sub Pop, like Pond and Sprinkler. And shit, I can't believe I'm forgetting the last Pete Krebs band. Anyway, but the Shins had just moved to Portland. And they were on Sub Pop, but they weren't from Portland. You know, they had all moved here from Albuquerque. So to us, it was special that, like, just getting on Sub Pop was cool enough. And then kind of that, like, no other Portland bands were happening or were doing that, like, felt really cool at the time.
On your website, and by the way, you're one of the few bands that still have their own URL. You can still go to thethermals.com.
I know. And I was like, those things, you're like, should we be paying for this still? I know, like your official website is so funny. I was like asking Kathy, because she kind of handles stuff like that. I was like, can we make it just like direct to Bandcamp or something? You know, like something that we can actually, but we still like sell like all our stuff from that same thethermals.com too, thethermals.com, I should say.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the bio on that page, which is worth visiting, you describe that first record as released on Sub Pop at a time when people were just starting to stop paying for music.
Right.
Good timing.
I know. All that Joker stuff I wrote. It was such the cusp. Like everything was right about to change because we signed in 2002. So we still had like glossy photos, like the 8x10 glossy, like all we got to like jump in with all this stuff that we had grown up. Like, oh, that's the first thing you get when you get on a label, you get a, you know, 8x10 glossy photo. And then like, cause by the time we were on our next record, I think they were already not doing those. And it was all just digital. Finally, 2004. Yeah. You'd think they would have, and it was just, like when we signed, there was this like story of, it was when Pearl Jam, like, do you remember when they were like mailing CDs that were glued inside of Discmans to journalists so that they wouldn't be able, but of course you could still, even by then, I don't know if that's that late, but like, yeah, there was that. And yeah. And then so very quickly, everything, you know, went to digital.
Amazing. Help me out with sequence because Keith, I'm sure you remember, you could probably, this would probably make a really fun, like top five, top 10 list kind of thing. You remember that track one, side A track one, like the first impression that a record makes on you. And you're like, this is it. Like these are my people, yeah. Right? Like almost.
Instantly. Right. Like they do that in High Fidelity,
yes,
I think, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yes.
I know Velvet Underground comes up. Yeah.
Did the No Culture Icons, was that an EP or a single? I don't know how you'd categorize that, but did that come out?
Yeah, that was, I mean, yeah.
Did that come out before?
Again, another thing that disappeared, there was a CD single. So I was like, it should be like a CD single, like when we were a kid. You put the single and then you put but another track that's on the record, but maybe like a deeper cut. And then you put like two B-sides. I don't know. That's what, I had that in my head that's what that's supposed to be.
Right.
But yeah.
So that was that single was my first impression to the band. And I was, I'm still to this day, I think one of the greatest openings ever is Hardly Art, Hardly Starving, Hardly Art, Hardly Garbage. It's immediately, I was like, that's my guy. That like these are my people. And then so when I heard More Parts Per Million, and that song was track three and not track one, I was so jarred by it. I was like, hang on, somebody moved my cheese.
Why? Because it wasn't the first track on the record.
Because it wasn't the first thing I heard out of the speaker when I pop it on. You know, I want that moment every time.
Hardly Art, Hardly Starving. Hardly Art, Hardly Garbage. Hardly Art, Hardly Starving. Hardly Art, Hardly Garbage. More color, more liquid, no set, no skin. More stained paper, more parts per million. No new toughness, no self-reference. No cold sand, no false dance. No wanna deal, no wanna feel. No two the same, no two in the same day. Hardly Art, Hardly Starving. Hardly Art, Hardly Garbage. Hardly Art, Hardly Starving. Hardly Art, Hardly Started. More color liquid, no set, no skin. More stained paper, more parts per million. No new toughness, no self.
I think most of those songs were just recorded in the order that they were written and done. There's like a couple that got shuffled around for I don't know what reason, but yeah, I like the idea of them being in the order of like when they were written.
Oh, wow. Recorded. That's interesting.
Yeah. Because they were all just written like day of. A couple of them maybe took a few days, but most were just like a day, like write and track the whole song in one day and not change anything. Like it was mixed again eventually, but didn't go back and like fix anything.
Impressive.
Only did it that once. I would prefer to not work that way. I mean, it's fun as an artistic process, but I couldn't imagine doing that right now. Especially with like Pro Tools and everything. All you do is like fix things to death.
Yeah. The temptation. So I'm going into the studio next week and we're recording to 2-inch tape.
We're
not going to do a click track, everything organic, because I'm trying to get away from Pro Toolsing everything to death.
Right. It's hard to get away from it.
What Connie felt, she kept to herself. Pulled into a pretty grove of pines and made ourselves comfortable. Then I heard music.
You kept with the Death Cab ties. If Ben helped get your tape heard at Sub Pop,
right.
Chris comes in, Chris Walla, and produces the second album, Fucking A.
Yeah.
And you said that he booked you guys?
This was a different Chris. Sorry. Oh, different Chris. It was another Chris, different Chris. But yeah, so Ben introduced us to Chris, and then Chris mixed that 4-track record that I had done, and then he produced the next one in Seattle.
So I got to ask you a question. What was the marketing campaign like for Fucking A?
The people from radio would come and they'd be like, we can't play the song because we can't say the name of the record. And we're like, fuck. You're just young and stupid. You think doing stuff like that's awesome. There's like so few things I would change that we did, like almost nothing, but I would have called it something. And it's not even anything without a curse. Mm. In the title, because you're like, you're just making things difficult for yourself. But we did, so it was putting out a 4-track cassette record. You know, we just like thought it was funny. Yeah.
And it still is.
It is.
Yeah.
But
for us, it was like you get exactly what you always wanted as a kid. And then you kind of just like, you like take it seriously, but it's also like one big joke for some reason. Or just like you think if you're not treating it that way, you're just like selling out like right away. You're not making things difficult for yourself. Anyway. Okay.
I'm kind of working up to a couple of specific moments. I'm wondering if you can tell me about We Sleep in a Holy Bed, because that seems to be, those songs are the hardest to find online if you wanted to stream Thermal's music.
Right. Cause none of them were ever like really finished. Like there are some mixes of it, but there weren't any it's just unfinished. It needs to be like someone has to kind of like dig into it and then make it sound good. I want to. I've kind of talked to John Congleton about it, and he did. Now we can see, like, he would be someone that would be great because he can do a lot of like studio magic, make something that's not super finished sound like amazing.
Yeah,
I think he could.
You described that album and that collection of songs as a morbid meditation on religion, which seems like a recurring theme for you.
I was going to say that could describe like at least half the records.
Leading up to The Body, The Blood, The Machine, I would love to know more about your relationship with religion. You know, how were you raised? Were you raised in a very religious home?
Yeah, I was raised in a Catholic, like a very like strictly Catholic, but also my dad is Jewish. So it's both of those.
Interesting.
But mostly Catholic. Like we didn't ever go to temple. Like I've only been in a temple like for like a cousin's like bat mitzvah or something. We went to Catholic church every single Sunday, like without fail, and then went to Catholic school and then went to like Catholic, you know, went to CCD on Wednesday. And Kathy was raised the same way. So the fact that we arrived at like this place with like... I mean, I feel like that stuff is like stuck in your head forever. Like once, you know, after like 18 or 20 years of it. So, yeah. but I try so hard now to not put any religion in, and I haven't for so long because it's just like something that even if you only do it once, people do think it's all you do, and it's just like hard to get rid of.
Is the reason you avoid it, perhaps, this is just hypothesis, one guy's opinion, is it perhaps because you fear that you spoke this shit into existence? Hutch?
Yeah. Right? I'm sure there's a lot of like things to be scared about.
You know,
yeah.
in 2006, hang on.
Oh, you mean what's happening in the world?
I'm going to press on this. Yeah. In 2006,
you write...
A terrifying tale of a young couple fleeing a fascist faux Christian USA.
Very prescient.
I'll take credit for it, but also to me that felt like the idea was already old fashioned when we were singing about it.
I don't know, man. It's pretty on the nose.
Maybe it was old fashioned as like something in fiction, but not something that's happening.
It strikes me going back and reading, you know, doing some research about the band and reading those words. It strikes me how 2023 that sentiment is.
Right. I know it's gross. And we were feeling that way from having, you know, Bush and Cheney who are, you know,
as I read it, I'm like, what was going on in 2006? I'm like, right.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, the war had been going on for like 2.5 years or, you know, not even that long. Cause we're writing it mostly in 2005. And just thinking, I mean, it's like, what Trump and them do is like the kind of like, it's like the amateur version of what Bush and them wanted to do, you know? So
it's like, it's more clown carring.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I was reading a Pitchfork interview with you and I loved the first question. Uh-huh. He asked you, uh-huh, why do you hate America?
Yeah. But what if,
yeah. I thought that was great.
I hope I did. I probably said, I don't hate
it. That's exactly what you said. That's exactly.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Because that's what you would say, because they make you defensive. Yeah. But then you should just say, but I don't. See, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
Because like, you hate America. I should have just said, why do you? Yeah. But you knew they were on your side, though. You know,
for sure.
Pittsburgh. It wasn't like.
Yeah. Soft landing space, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So you're getting ambushed by like Fox News.
I would love to go back in time with you to 2006 and the experience of being on Burn to Shine, because for a listener who is not familiar with Burn to Shine, it's a series where they took indie bands and had them perform inside of houses that were slated to be burned down by the fire department.
Right.
And that sounds like a fascinating show to conceptualize and put together and perform on.
Right. And that was all Brendan from Fugazi. That was his project. The funny thing about the Portland one is, so I think they had done, I think the other ones are Chicago, DC, and Louisville. I think those are the other ones. I know they had done like two of them before ours, and they were like these old condemned buildings. So the buildings are these really cool, like decrepit old buildings in big cities. But then the Portland house was only 5 years old. It was like a mini like McMansion that was built on like a golf course, but they were gonna tear it down. So there's like some program where you can like let the fire department burn it down. So we're just playing it like it's such a corny house to be playing, as opposed to these other, I don't know, Portland always, you know, it kind of gets like the rinky dink version of stuff that happens in bigger cities anyway. So it's fitting.
It's so
but the bands
funny.
Are really good.
Oh, yeah, the bands are amazing.
The setting is still in. Yeah, yeah. But the bands in it are awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you played Welcome to the Planet.
Right, right, right.
No need.
Okay, thanks. Jordan, yeah. Are the snares on your snare?
Yeah.
Welcome to the planet. Don't tell us you can handle it. We know. Executive defeated. Like an exponential leader. We know, I got a plane to fly us. You can catch my virus. It's a long way out, I know. It's a long way out, I know. Welcome to the system. Don't tell us you got a fist for it. We know, exiting the mission is executive decision only. We know. I got a plane to fly us. If you can catch my virus. It's a long way out, I know. It's a long way out, I know.
Why can't I find Welcome to the Planet? Now I can find that session. I can find Burn to Shine and your episode.
Yeah,
but I think that's
no,
the only
like, recorded song. Right, right.
Only version of you playing Welcome to the Planet.
Right.
Wow.
That song, We Sleep in a Holy Bed, but it's just like, again, it's just not. Never released.
Hmm. Okay. Okay.
But it should be. I mean,
I'm going to take us. Yeah. I'm going to bring us to current.
Okay.
We can edit this out if this strikes a nerve.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. It's gone. I want to connect 2023 to you, and I want to solicit your feedback when you hear this.
Right.
I was targeted for an ad that said, "Hey, uh-huh. you release stuff. You need to create ads. Use this AI tool to create the music that you put in the beds of your ads." And the sample that they gave of the AI generated music,
right,
was fucking Pillar of Salt, stripped of the distortion and the keyboard line played with like a synth. And I was like, that's not AI generated. That's the Thermals song.
Right. It was the actual same melody?
It was the exact same melody, note for note. And I thought, is this where we are headed? Is this like where that's AI scary. Can just take a song and just be like,
well, yeah, yoink. I mean, they can. Right. Right. But if they steal your melody, you can sue. Wait, how do I see that? Do I want to see it?
I know, right? Like, I feel like I've let you down as a fan of the band, not writing it down and emailing you, be like, Hutch, you need to look into this.
If you see it again, let me know. I mean, because the thing was, any record that's on, like, a big label, you just ask them to do, you know, Sub Pop owns, I mean, they don't own that melody, but they own the license, or, you know, I mean, they own the original recordings. They own the recordings, so they might have an interest. Yeah, I don't know. If it was one of my solo songs, I'd be like, what am I gonna, I could like message them, but like with someone like Sub Pop, you can, there's someone to go after. But is it like a Russian company, or
I'm sure it's you know, who knows with these AI companies? I thought, if they are so brazen as to just lift a song, I mean, make no effort to disguise. If you played them side by side, you would say same song.
Right, right.
Clearly.
Right.
Maybe it speaks to the popularity overall of Pillar of Salt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just shows the genius songwriting that
there you go.
was used to create that song, so. Apparently AI can do it just as easy.
Well, it's going to take a long time for the law to catch up with technology.
Oh yeah. The things we're getting done now are like so old. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Especially in like in publishing and like music and music copyright. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can't be your problem though. It can't be my problem though. It can't
No.
I just can't care. Like,
right.
I was just having, someone was telling me just recently that I should be upset about like how little things like Spotify, you know, how little they pay. And I just cannot, that can't be something I like worry about or care about. You'll go crazy.
Well, maybe their CEO will commit seppuku. Did I say that out loud?
Let's explain that for those of us like myself.
Yeah, that's where you take a big long sword and you fall on it and slide it real painfully and dramatically through your belly as you die, and you go, ah!
Right.
Nice.
I think I just know it from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Or Futurama. I know it's Futurama. Yeah. But the robot tries to do it, but he can't because he just bends the sword. Bender tries to commit seppuku.
If gun to my head, if I had to pick a favorite Thermal song, my favorite Thermal song is on this album, The Body, the Blood, the Machine, and that's Return to the Fold.
Oh, cool. Song is kind of it's not what we're talking about, but it is another reason why I try not to write about religion anymore, because I mean, that is a song that is, it's about like you did have faith at one point, but you don't now, but you would like to try to get back to the time you did, which I would like to, but it's just impossible. Like I can't make myself believe something. I would like to believe in God and heaven, but I just don't. And I can't make myself, and I can't pretend I can't pretend like I do, because it's just not possible. I don't know how, what it would take for that to be possible. But yeah, I mean, that was how I was feeling then. And that is how I was, you know, that's how I still feel. And there were people who, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, the Thermals are an anti-Christian band. That's not supposed to be anti-Christian. And then there were a lot of people who were like, the Thermals are a Christian band. And I was like, man, if you can like convince people on both, you know, on both sides of that, with the same record, I was like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But then also I was like, but then you got to like get away from religion, because it's like giving people the wrong idea about everything. Like there were some people who were so angry. We would get like, not hate mail, but just like people angry, like, oh, you know, people were saying, oh, you're picking on Christianity like it was a decision, like we were like throwing darts at like religions and being like, what should we? We're like, we grew up with this, and therefore, I mean, this is in our heads. It wasn't like, let's talk trash on Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, next record, the we'll take on the Jews, right?
Right. Finally, someone has to. Why will no one?
I've always liked you, the idea of you as a poet, and uh-huh. and the poetic nature of your lyrics. Again, I'm pulling a lot from your bio on your webpage, but I love the way you wrote this. I assume you wrote this, Hutch.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I did.
Set me straight if this is Kathy.
No one else is allowed to write anything. No one else.
You said, and so this is following Body, Blood, and the Machine. You know, you tour, and I felt like you toured real aggressively on that record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you come home, you settle back down. It's 2007, 2008, and you say, in the wind and the rain and the short bursts of warm light, they stood on the shore and shouted at the sea, demanding an answer to the greatest question of life. What is the meaning of life, and what comes after death? I feel like Douglas Adams handled this pretty well for us. So,
yeah, exactly.
42 is half of that. And then what comes after death seems like you are like a moth to flame with this religion stuff.
I know. Yeah.
Were you working through anything? I mean, other than Catholicism?
I feel like my life is pretty much the same as it was then, and that was 10 years before that too. So it's nothing. It's not like it was a specific.
It's a process.
My life. It wasn't like specifically important. I mean, like that time in my life, I don't think. Yeah. Anytime I don't want to like sit down and be like, what are we going to write something about? It's nicer to just start writing, see what comes out. And then once that's come out, then you kind of run with it. And so for me, that's what comes out like every single time.
I feel like the Sub Pop, if I can be so bold, it's a group Thermals eras by record label. You have a Sub Pop era.
Yes.
And was 2009 the debut on Kill Rock Stars?
Yes. Yeah.
With Now We Can?
Yes.
To me, that's its own era of the band, that the Kill Rock Stars era almost has a different, it's still the Thermals. It's still your voice. It's still your poetry. Right. But the sound maybe is a little more patient.
It's less punk, like intentionally, like very intentionally to go on Kill Rock Stars, but not to sound like a punk band anymore, just because mostly that was what was on Kill Rock Stars. And that's how we thought of that label too. But also you just want to take the band in a different direction.
I think embodied best perhaps by the song We Were Sick off of that album.
We were sick. We were sick at the top. So far from where we started, too far along to stop. We were sick. We were sick at the thought we'd ever lose our grip and end up sick at the bottom.
Somebody.
I would say that that's a power pop record. But when I compare it to other power pop or like real power pop, it's not. But you as a band like always have an idea in your head of what you're doing. And usually it's like what comes out is not is not exactly what you think it is. Like I saw, it's like an old, it's like Behind the Music or something on Hall & Oates. And at one point they got to play the Apollo Theater. And to them it was like, now we've made it, because like in, like they kept describing themselves to like them, they were doing soul. They were just like a soul band. They weren't like, they weren't white and it wasn't pop. Like they were just like the most authentic soul band, which I mean, I love Hall & Oates, but thinking that like, well, it's kind of crazy. Like, cause like, especially I don't think, I mean, I didn't see him that way. I'm sure a lot of people didn't, but yeah, but what's in your head, you decide like, this is who we are. We're doing this. And then something else comes out.
How about Daryl Hall getting a restraining order against
Oates? Yeah, what? That seemed like that. I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, I understand that he's trying to sell like his publishing rights, but I'm not sure why it. Yeah.
Why do you need a restraining order, though?
Yeah, no. Was it just like hype? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No, it's just for hype. He's just fine. He's like, he hit me.
Pretty wild. You talk about those Kill Rock Stars records, you talk about the notion of monogamy. And
really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Relationships in general seem like a plenty potent, fertile ground for digging for lyrics. So we've all done it.
Yeah, for sure.
But why monogamy? Why does that stand out to you as something worth...
I mean, I don't know, what are you thinking? Like, what songs in particular? I don't think I was thinking of monogamy. I mean, just more like relationships, but it could be, I don't think it had to be monogamous, or did it? Yeah, I guess. I mean, if it's not about sex, does it make it monogamous? I mean, I'm trying to think of, yeah,
I think on personal life
that way, but I can see it. Yeah. No, I'm thinking personal life too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I didn't, I can see it, but I just had never thought of it that way. I don't know. I feel like as soon as you like someone and they like you, and then as soon as you get together, then you start not liking each other.
Immediately.
Or you like each other, but now you're just going to argue, and all these things that didn't matter before, right, now they just matter.
Yeah. Thermal's music was featured in a couple different places in commercials, television, stuff like that.
Right.
To me, perhaps the most prominent was your version of Little Boxes that was featured on the show Weeds.
Right.
Which I was a dedicated follower of.
Uh-huh.
So it was always tickled to see, because they rotated through a bunch of different artists on the intro for the show.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years, there was just like so many, so many different. I know Death Cab had done it.
Were you approached by the showrunners? Is that something that
they
asked you to do?
Yeah, they did. We had let them use Here's Your Future. They had used that like a few years before. It's like closes out. If you remember the episode where she like dumps all the weed in the pool and then she takes her clothes off and jumps in the pool, that's the Thermals right there. So they had done that, and then they asked us to do the theme. And I just recorded that here at my house. That must have been like 2011, I think, because we had just moved in here. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, the episode, I think, aired 2012.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so that makes sense.
That era, that 2011-2012, is when you lost Joel.
Right.
I wonder how the death of a bandmate and friend like that influences your interest in keeping the band going. Does it influence positive, negative? Does it not at all? I don't know.
He actually didn't pass away, though, till a few years later. So he had, like, stopped playing with us. And then I'm forgetting what year. Oh no, but he did pass away that soon.
Yeah, it says
2012.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Sorry. Wow. I was thinking, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's too bad. I was just talking to our mutual friend of ours about him. Yeah, it's so I haven't lost that many. I've lost like a lot of friends, I would say, but not a lot of friends like as close as Joel. Mm. Yeah, super sweet guy. Super, super sweet. Probably like the funniest guy. Yeah, great dude. Like his parents were English, but I think maybe he had lived in England for like a little bit as a kid, but then his whole family was here. But he was like just hilarious in this like very English way. And his parents were like very, very English. I just mean like very like witty, smart, funny people. Yeah, that's how he was.
Call me a stereotypical Yank, but I'm just picturing John Cleese.
Like, it's almost like, I can't think of like an actor, but he was, because I'm like, when I, you know, met him, he was much older. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe kind of like John Cleese. He was tall. I mean, Joel was super tall. Yeah, very tall and skinny.
The following year, 2013, begins the last of the eras and the last right. label swap, which was moving to the Saddle Creek brand.
Right, right.
And Desperate Ground was the first Saddle Creek record.
Right, right.
It seems like to me, as someone that, you know, I have the luxury of doing this with Keith and talking to a number of different artists, it seems like Saddle Creek was a movement unto itself. Like if you were on Saddle Creek, you had a family in the music business. Was that true for the Thermals?
I feel like we were like super close with those guys that ran it. Cause like Rob, the owner, actually like moved to LA. He still had a place in Omaha, but he moved to LA. I don't know when, maybe around when we signed. And so we would just always stay with him, and he's great. All those dudes are great. It definitely wasn't the same for us as like all the bands that are from Omaha. Cause you think like 90% of that label, or maybe not so much anymore, but for most of its run, it had just been Omaha bands.
Yeah.
But it's like some of the best, it's all the best bands to come out of Omaha, except for 311. But Bright Eyes, Cursive, these are, you know, massive. And we had toured with Cursive on the Body of the Blood. We had toured with them like a lot, or like one like very long tour, like an almost 2 month tour, which was insane. But yeah, we had like known that whole crew. Like the first time Bright Eyes had come to Portland, Kathy and I had actually put on like a house show that he had done, like probably like 1999 maybe. So we had already like known that whole seeing like all those bands, Cursive, The Faint, Bright Eyes, just from them coming to Portland, like just going way back. It's weird though. It's almost, we were like already like a family with all those bands, but then when we signed to Saddle Creek, then I feel like we were less of a family.
Really?
But a lot of bands left Saddle Creek is the thing. Like Connor left Saddle Creek and Cursive did. And I think they maybe even like took their records, cause I know they started their own label. I think The Faint had left anyway. Not that it totally matters. But I do. We, you know, we know and love those guys, Saddle Creek.
When the Thermals decided to, well, before we talk about retiring the band, the last thing that you put out was We Disappear.
Right.
Which featured Hey, was Hey You the single from that
record? It was, yeah.
Every once in a while, I'm interested in the visual representation that accompanies a release.
Right.
And I wonder if you could tell us about the slice of pizza smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I made all the record covers and they were all, you know, they were all collages. And most of them were like, they're all very serious. And there was, I just like had all this stuff that I had made, but was never being used for anything. And then definitely not for the band, because it always had to be like serious in a way. Or, I mean, like there were some like fucking A or the Body that were like ridiculous, but it was fitting to what the lyrics were, we thought. And so I was like, can there just be like, what can we use? You know, for Hey You, it was like, not like a funny song, but it's kind of, I mean, it's not serious. So I was like, oh, let's use something like this. To me, it looked like it would have been like a Guided by Voices cover or something, like just something like kind of ridiculous that looks kind of tossed off more than like, here's something where we took all the time to place everything all perfect. Just something that kind of was like a little more ridiculous.
I want to go back to Pillar of Salt. I loved that video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How involved in that? Just the fact that you come in and punch a clock. I'm like, fucking A, that. The subtext there is so rich for me. It's like,
right. That's all. We didn't have any, I mean, all the creative process was done by the director, whose name is Whitey McConaughey. And if you find his stuff on YouTube, there's so many good videos. Like he does a ton of ad stuff and like skate and like comedy stuff. But like, just like his music, he's like someone that loves music videos and can do videos like that for like pretty cheap. I would look up, there's this band called Red Fang. This Portland band that he's done. If you know them, he's done like their videos, which are crazy.
Did he do the LARPing one?
Absolutely. Yeah. That one's, if you know, like, you know, it's like dudes building, you know, suits of armor out of like beer cans. And he built, you know, he put together all that stuff himself. And that video specifically got him, you know, that was very popular for him. But there's this dude Panther that he did a video for where it's like this guy lives inside a cardboard box and like all of his furniture and like his toaster and his stereo are all built out of cardboard too. And like Whitey just made all that stuff from scratch. Yeah.
Interesting.
But he also did the Returning to the Fold video. And he did the I Don't Believe You video where like Carrie Brownstein's like trying to find out where the music's coming from and we're in her shed. and I think that is her house, actually. I'm pretty sure that is or was her house.
Very unique visual quality to him.
Yeah. It's great. And like a lot of those videos are just the budget's like $1,000 or nothing. And then like, he would just like not get paid and make all this stuff. Or a lot of times he would take the budget for the video and he wouldn't get paid anything. He would just use it to build something. Cause he built that room for Pillar of Salt. He like, that's just like in this warehouse space. He just built that whole room.
Wow.
From scratch. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, like a wood frame with like, what it is, not particle board. I mean, no. It's something like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like plastic or something. Wow. Very thin.
No, I just love the subtext. You come in and you punch a clock.
Yeah, that's rich.
That's rich.
Yeah.
2002 to 2017, you know, that's 15 years is a nice long run for a band. You have continued to publish music under your own name since the Thermals decided to call it a day.
Yes.
You describe yourself as on permanent hiatus, which I think if you're a big fan of the band, you read that and goes, you know, the Dumb and Dumber moment where Jim Carrey says, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Also, permanent hiatus is such a joke of a phrase, too. Permanent hiatus. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not broken up, but we're never coming back. I don't know. I don't know what it would take. I wish that, like, my band had been something, like, mellow with, like, acoustic guitars. Like, I wish I would have had success doing that. Because, like, coming back to that now, that sounds awesome. But coming back to, like, the band where there's, like, 25 songs in the set, and you like sweat till you're like soaking wet, like you got out of the pool. Like I don't want to do that. I can't believe we did it then.
Oh man.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like, it's just so much work. It's so much work to do that. I don't know how bands that keep, there are bands that go on for way long, their whole lives. I don't know how you do it. I mean, good for them if you like to do it and it's successful, but I can't imagine. Mostly just being on tour like all the time, like that.
It's a commitment, and it's a sacrifice. I mean,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Suck Up All the Oxygen is a record that you released in 22, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I want to read some song titles here. We've got.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Life is Overrated.
True.
Hard to argue. It's Not Gonna Be Okay.
People say you'll be okay, you'll always have a friend. People tell you everything will work out in the end. People say I love you when they look you in the eyes. But people say a lot of things and most of them are lies. It's not gonna be alright, it's never gonna be.
Garbage World. I used to think I was beautiful.
True.
Your Instagram handle, Instant Anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All My Friends Are Dead. I'm
not true, but
I'm sensing a theme here, Hutch. And I've asked this one other time, but I'm going to recycle an old question, which is, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. You got to put all those dark thoughts somewhere.
It's a concentrated amount of darkness.
I know, and when I play shows, I just play acoustic, so sometimes those songs are hilarious to people, depending on who the audience, and sometimes they're like really depressing, and sometimes I just won't. A lot of times, if like the set's going well and those are in there, I just like won't play those because people don't want to hear them. It's like you got to kind of like start with those songs live and then go somewhere else, but like, you can't be playing a show and then be like, now we're going to switch to these songs. It just depends. But then I played those songs at a comedy show where I wasn't like doing stand. I was just like the musical guest and just playing those songs. And then people just like laughed. Those songs got huge laughs. So I was like, that's cool that it works. That works. But like, I love living like so much. Like I love life every day, but I still think it's overrated.
Wildly. You will not get an argument from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking to two professional curmudgeons here.
Okay,
so
great. Good.
Yeah. I have had so much fun interacting with you and watching your fans interact with you on Instagram, where it's almost digital busking, where you're like, hey, here's my Venmo.
I'll
learn any song you want me to learn. And to my great delight, I don't mind sharing, Keith, that I asked Hutch to do a version of Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, and he fucking nailed it.
Probably the best request, I think. Because I I didn't even have to go listen, you know, mm-hmm. even the song, you know, there's a lot of songs I've never heard that people ask for. So I got to listen to it a bunch of times. Then there's the ones, you know, but you go back that song. I think I checked in. I wanted to the later, like Kick the Habit, Shed My Skin part. I was like, what exactly is happening in their version? But yeah, that song is just like so like just in my yeah. head for my whole life. I love it.
You could have a steam train if you just lay down your tracks. You could have an airplane flying if you break your blue sky back. All you do is call me. I'll be anything.
Adam Franklin from Swerve Driver did something similar where he was taking requests and doing acoustic versions and enjoyed the process so well and ended up with such a wonderful collection of tunes. Right. He took it into his home studio and said, I'm actually going to re-record these right. like in a controlled environment and release it. Right.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe a possibility for you.
Yeah, I got my list going because I've done like 100 so far.
Wow.
I think there are like 4 that I'm like, oh, I could do this.
Are you still still doing it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, good. I still have like songs bent for like another like 30 days. So even if there were no requests starting now, it would still go on for another month. Every time I think it's gonna slow down, like 4 people will request a song in a day or something. So I will do it as long as people like it. Cause people seem to like it. People actually like it a lot more than I thought.
Really?
I thought it would be yeah. very short lived and kind of like, cause just normally when I would, you know, without it being kind of this project where people ask for songs, I would just like pick a song and do it. And people liked it. Okay. But definitely not people like really like it in this different way, which is fun.
We're about at time.
Okay.
What a wonderful way to spend an hour this
was. Yeah, no, this was awesome.
Thank you so much, Hutch.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the music. Thank you for the interaction with the fans. It really is.
Oh, yeah,
it's a gas to see everybody chip in and enjoy one another.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's so friendly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was an absolute gas.
Yeah.
And We will see you and may I use the sledgehammer clip in the
episode? Oh yeah, yeah, I would love it. Yeah, yeah, please.
Cool. Wonderful.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you again.
Yes.
We appreciate you being on the show.
Cool. Hutch, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Right. Take care.
Okay, have a good night.
Bye-bye.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Hey Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain again with something every podcast listener and music junkie needs to hear. As I'm sure you can guess, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I also listen to a lot of music, so having high-quality headphones and earbuds are absolutely critical to my day. Oh, and I have numerous pairs. In fact, I have a junk drawer of used devices that have bitten the dust, so I've tried them all. Recently, I was sent a pair of earbuds by Raycon, and the first thing I noticed was the cost. Looks like their products are about half the price of other premium brands. Okay, that's cool. And the reviews seem pretty stellar. Okay, checks that box. So I got my Raycon Everyday Earbuds, a nice packaging to open, and what I immediately noticed were the pack of ear tips for sizing. I'll tell ya, I have small ear canals, I know a flaw. So to see choices for the best fit, especially while exercising, oh yeah. And yes, they were immediately comfortable. Sound quality was great too. Plus, I have three EQ options that I love because I like more bass in my music and less in the podcasts. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise canceling, and awareness mode all included. I think I'm in business, and I just realized I've had them in all day. Like I said, super comfortable. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Many thanks to Hutch for stopping by and chatting. Be sure to check out The Thermals at thethermals.com and on Bandcamp. You can stream both Hutch's solo work and The Thermals wherever you stream your favorite music. We have links in the show notes.
This episode of Abandoned Albums was written and produced by Keith R. Higgins and Jeff Calhoun. The show was recorded at Thunderlove Studio, where it was engineered by
Daphne Morris,
with help from
John Thomas.
Abandoned Albums was edited by
Mike Hunt.
Our theme song is Booty Cooler by Shuggy Otis. In the opening of the show, the songs you heard were Rumble by Link Ray, 16 Tons by Tennessee Ernie Ford, and the Carpenters classic Top of the World, performed by Shonen Knife. You can stream all of those songs and artists wherever you stream your favorite music.
Original music by Mike Pellegrino.
The songs you heard during this podcast were Pillar of Salt, No Culture Icons, An Ear for Baby, Welcome to the Planet, Return to the Fold, We Are Sick, and Little Boxes. You also heard It's Not Going to Be Okay from Hutch's solo work, and a little of his version of the Peter Gabriel classic Sledgehammer. You can stream Hutch and the Thermals wherever you stream your favorite music. Please be sure to support your favorite independent artist. If you like what you've heard, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating. It really does help. Thanks for listening.
Grazie.
Bailey Leaf.
Rob Janicki.
Mike Pellegrino.
Therina Bella.
Ronnie Barnett.
S.W. Loudon.
Michael Janicki.
Peyton Janicki.
And our executive producer.
This is Thunderwolf.
Abandoned Albums receives funding from Damon Pharmaceuticals, the makers of Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck is the only chewable tablet made to combat stomach unease associated with mediocrity. Taken daily, Ben Affleck can help combat explosive gastrointestinal shame. You can find a multitude of flavors in the incontinence section of your local pharmacy. Ben Affleck, save yourself the embarrassment.
The side effects include dry mouth, headache, anal leakage, muscle soreness, bad decisions, gender confusion, constipation, evil spirit possession, and banality. Use only as directed.
And now, until we meet again next time, I remain as always obediently yours.
Abandoned Albums is a production of Paw Print Media.
And now, a word from our sponsor.